Eshaha. This demon. Te. Your Lord Varaha. Deva. O Lord. Devanam. To the demigods. Angribulam. Your feet. Upeyusham. To those having obtained. Vipranam. To the Brahmanas. Krishnaya. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha. Right? So Aya means two. Offer my obeisances to the son of Nanda Maharaj, offer my obeisances to. Yeah. There's a man with a mission. So. Man with a mission. Thank you. Okay. Well, that's a good one. How much does this cost?
They're getting to it.
Oh, yeah? Wow, Hawaii, they're expensive. Yeah. To see two. Krishnaya. But here is Anam. Dev Anam means two, and Bhut Anam means two. So in Sanskrit, for us fools who are trying to learn Sanskrit, there are Vibhaktis, you know, the conclusions. Vibhaktis? Yeah. Krishnat, Krishnaya, Krishnena, Krishnasya. Right. These all are like to Krishna, from Krishna, with Krishna, by Krishna, at Krishna. So gradually you can, probably said I wrote my books with the word-by-word translations. So I thought anybody who read them carefully would learn Sanskrit. So, you know, actually you can do that. So you look at these endings, and it has, usually aya means unto, but here is also deva, devanam. I would say it means amongst. Okay, api, also. Anagasam.
Anagasam.
What does agasura mean?
Snake.
Huh?
Snake.
Yeah, what does it mean? Agasura.
Snake, right?
No, aga means sinful. Means sinful. Sinful demon. So this is an agasam. Innocent. Not sinful. Agakrit. Right there. An offender. Bayakrit. A source of fear. Oh, sorry. It's two verses together. Sorry. It's kind of a strange. Yeah. Okay. So that was 20. Is 22. 23 is agas krid by a krid dush krid asmat radha varosuraha ande san apratirato lokan artati kantakaha. Brahma said, my dear Lord Varaha, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching from a proper combatant, for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. So you see people like this. You have demoniac people looking with power and strength, always looking for, you know, looking for argument, looking for a fight like that. You know? So this is how they prove their identity by hurting other people. Sadistic thing. Without victims, they don't feel comfortable. Purport, question of Papa. There are two classes of living entities. One is called Sura, or the demigods. The other is called Asura, or the demons. Demons are generally fond of worshipping the demigods, and there are evidences that by such worship, they get extensive power for sense gratification. This later proves to be a cause of trouble to the brahmanas, demigods, and other innocent living entities. Demons habitually find fault with the demigods, brahmanas, and innocent, to whom they are a constant source of fear. The way of the demon is to take power from the demigods and then tease the demigods themselves. There is an instance of a great devotee of Lord Shiva who obtained a boon from Lord Shiva that the head of whomever he touched with his hand would come off its trunk. As soon as the boon was offered to him, the demon wanted to touch the very head of Lord Shiva. That is their way. The devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not, however, ask any favor for sense gratification. Even if they are offered liberation, they refuse it. They are happy simply engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Dah. So Prabhupada. So any comments? It's okay. Anybody overwhelmed with some idea about this verse? Yeah. Who's fighting whom here? Rani Kasipu and Lord Vishnudev? No? Lord Varaha and Hiranyaksha. The previous verse, Chitsugananda Prabhu was, yesterday Chitsugananda Prabhu was in class. And it says, after arriving at the place of combat, and Janakumar is talking about how first there has to be a verbal fight, right? People have to get there. You know, you see monkeys, and they're challenging each other. First they grab a branch, and they go, and they exchange insults like that and do different things, and then they're ready to start. You know, it has to happen first, usually, you know, at the insult. Prabhupada says you can't fight without becoming angry. So first there has to be this verbal thing to build your anger and fix your intelligence. At that point, if you can keep the person from fixing his logic and intelligence, he can't fight, he can't attack you. So if you can defeat him verbally, intellectually, keep his mind under control, he can't do it. You know? Hansaduda? No, it was Jagjivan, the devotee, said he was with Hansaduda when they were in Germany, and they had a big stage program, and the stage was like the size of our temple room here, and there were maybe like about 60-65 devotees on stage, and a big public audience someplace, and they were chanting, and Prabhupada was going to give a lecture, was sitting like this, and over in one corner there was one of Mataji was chanting and stuff, and she was close enough to the edge of the stage as some kind of rowdy, you know, German biker guys, one would grab your sari like that and kind of like, you know, teasing her, you know. And so she was frightened and tried to pull away, and he's hanging on, his friends were laughing with her beer. And Jagjivan said it happened so quick that nobody else even saw it. But some of our other Krishna mains, he saw it. So Prabhupada was chanting, and said Prabhupada is really super consciousness. He saw it. He said Prabhupada came off the Vyasasan, you know, heading toward these guys like this, you know, with the car tops, like. And these were young, you know, German Nazi, you know, biker guys. And he said it was so ferocious, so terrifying. Prabhupada was telling them this. The guys just, like, oh, sorry, and just like that. And his friends, they all, you know. And then Prabhupada looked at them like naughty children, and they all kind of like this, you know, kind of like, you know, we'll be good, we promise, we'll listen. You know. And he won them. You know, at that point, they just were listening like that, and his whole thing changed like that. You know. He was a bigger monster than they were. That was more forced. And when Prabhupada got off the Vyasasana and started to move that direction, then the devotees kind of, you know, reacted like, what's Prabhupada doing? And most of them didn't even notice what happened. Another time, it was Tamal Krishnamurti describing it, Saswati Maharaj. He had some program in someplace in New York or something. And afterwards they were walking back to the vehicle. And it was like two sannyasis, brahmacharis, vinyasas. Prabhupada was kind of the center. And one big, you know, rowdy black guy, just drunk, just kind of pushed right through everybody like that. And before devotees could protect Prabhupada, Prabhupada's cane came up, hit the guy in the chin, and knocked him flat on his back. And Prabhupada just kept on walking. It was just like, kept on, he didn't break his pace. And the guy, like that. And all the rest of the devotees, you know, young, protecting Prabhupada, are like, kind of like just getting ready to do, you know, to respond. The guys are already lying down, you know, unconscious, and Prabhupada keeps walking. Okay. One man asked Prabhupada, fighting the demon stories today. Some man asked Prabhupada, he said, why do you have that cane? And Prabhupada said, for beating dogs. And the man laughed like that. But I also heard, it was in Dallas, that story. The Prabhupada was in the back of the temple, then it was just a yard.
Actually outside, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Outside on, right, yeah, here on the branch.
Yeah, and the boys were fanning Prabhupada, and And here's this Texas guy goes by. Of course, in those days, here's like these always, you know, decent white boys. Fanning a brown guy, you know. This guy was walked right across the grass and said, "Heard me." He asked one of the devotees he was fanning probably, and said, "Why are you fanning him?" The devotee smiled. The Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Because it is hot." the man was just defeated, and he was defeated in such a way he wasn't hurt. He actually felt like, I mean, if you're defeated by a powerful person, you know, then it's actually an honor. You know, if you had a chance to go to the ring and go one round with Arnold Schwarzenegger, can you do it? Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know. But if you like, or Bruce Lee is more your size. Like you can tell everybody, yeah, I fought one round with Bruce Lee. Did you win? Come on. But I stayed the whole round. Oh, wow. Won't mess with you. So, there's so many stories of, you know, the devotees fighting, you know, with the demons like that. You know? And, but you know, there's also the innocent people who are not competent to fight with the demons. Arjuna was empowered, right, to fight with all these guys. You know? I've heard Prabhupada said that when the war comes, the devotees can hide under the bed. The brahmanas can hide under the beds like that, right? And the kshatriyas, they go out, "Don't worry, get behind us. Get behind me, I'll take care of this." So kshatriyas have a different nature and dharma, right, than brahmanas. The brahmanas, on the other hand, the brahmana is completely honest. If a brahmana tells you something, it's true. But if a kshatriya tells you something, or a vaishya, you know, it's like we were Hare Lili yesterday, driving down the road, and somebody's selling something, and it says, 0% interest to 2008. And he's telling me, you know, no way. They're figuring out some way to, the bank is figuring out some way to make money on your loan, you know, like that, whatever it is, yeah.
They don't charge you interest, they accrue it. So then, at the end of that period, it becomes part of the principal.
Okay.
And so they charge interest on that on top of that.
So, yeah. So you see these things, the demons. Yeah. But a brahmana, if a brahmana tells you, "Look, you know, just take this, you know, the car cost me $175, I've had it for, car cost me $1,000, I've had it for years, why don't you pay me $800? You know, so this guy's a brahmana, you think, that's what it is. The guy, you know, somebody else, you know, the guy he paid less than that, he's charging you more probably. Yeah. We were the high up. Our temple president. And we had two old vans. He wanted to trade in for two new vans, you know. And he was a good negotiator. We went on for like about 3 hours negotiating at this big, you know, place. And finally, the salesman kind of was passed it on to the sales manager. And they went back and forth. And we were using all these techniques and everything else. He was calling up somebody half the time. I don't think anybody even on the phone. Let me see how much I can give it to you for. So finally, he got a price that they both agreed on, and the guy was making no money, and he was manifesting symptoms of irritation and anger, you know. So he finished, and Hi, I said, "How much are you making?" And he said, $500 on each vehicle. $500 on each vehicle. Okay. But it was, you know, the guy was all acting, and it seemed like for sure there was like, "Oh, I'm losing money on this, you're forcing me to like this and that." And he goes, "Well, okay, you know, we can't afford that. We can fix it. We'll fix the old vans ourselves. We got mechanics in our church. Well, you know, it's back and forth. How much you're making? $500. You feel okay." So this is, you know, everybody has different characteristics. So here, you know, Lord Bohr is in this bellicose mood. He's also looking for a good fight, right? Yeah, so the demons are looking for a good fight. Okay, so we'll make them Krishna conscious, right? By engaging Prabhupada too. Even like you see, you hear Prabhupada's preaching engagements. Sometimes when the person is like that, Prabhupada will argue with them. You know, he'll become kind of a little flustered and, you know, not pronouncing the words properly. Just, you know, just get out there, get the point across, and arguing and yelling louder at the other person. He'll yell back at him. And then so many times, there was this Christian preacher. One lady, her son had become a devotee, and she was a nurse, and she gets probably divorced. And she wanted her son to grow up and become a doctor or something like that. And, Now I become a Hare Krishna devotee, leaving school. So she came there to see Prabhupada in the manor. She brought along her priest, a Catholic priest, to help her. And she's talking about these things, and Prabhupada's saying, well, no, this is the best medicine, to learn how to help people with their spiritual life. And then the priest is also talking about, you know, real spiritual life, things to help people with their bodies. And then Prabhupada's arguing with him, like, gets a little bit heated like that. And then Prabhupada's talking about how austerity and how it's good to not kill animals like that. So a Christian priest says, so you're telling me that if I became a vegetarian, it would be good for my spiritual life? And Prabhupada, in a very gentle form, said, yes. And the guy said, oh. So he could, all these rasas, you know, the real argument really is emotion. I'm trying to learn Hindi now. Hum Hindi Shikraham. Kamre Mome Do Pankaj? Pankaj? Kamre Me Teen Pankaj. There's three ventilators in the room. And so, it's a book from the University of London by Rupert Snell. And I had his old book, which was really good. Now his new book is even better so far. And it's an example of how to teach a language, or how to teach, not just how to teach Hindi. You know, it's really good. But he has, like, the dialogues. You learn dialogues. You know, his first dialogue is that Raja is arriving in Delhi from London, and he's going to stay with a lady who's a school friend of his mother, you know, now a grown-up. Up Kamala, hey? Hanji. Islarki? Islarka? Raju, hey? Oh. Up Angrezi, hey? Gina, yeah. But in his diary, he writes, well, it's a very nice house. Mr. Gupta's a nice person. He's a little old. He's a little old, but he's nice. This guy's like old people automatically are evil or something. He's old, but nice. You know? And he had three children, two boys and one girl. And the daughter, I forgot her name, is quite beautiful, dot, dot, dot. You know? So the whole thing is a telenovela with all these different people. I said, well, the whole thing is a soap opera. And finally, sure enough, in the end, you know, Raju and Kamala are going to get married. And, you know. So when there's emotional content in a dialogue or in a phrase, then you remember it a lot easier like that. You know? Why? Because in the end, what is supreme? You know, logic or emotion? In the ultimate absolute reality, what is supreme? Logic or emotion?
Logic.
Huh?
Logic.
He says logic. What is your proof that emotion is supreme?
In sales.
No, in the ultimate sense.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
In sales and et cetera, the idea is to get an emotion out of somebody.
Yeah.
On some basis, for some reason, because that works.
Yeah.
Over and above anything else.
It's logical to buy this product.
Yeah. There's logic. You can easily show a person why whatever you've got is better than something else.
Yeah.
So what? Everybody says that. It doesn't work. But if you can get somebody mad or happy or something, just get some response where there's something there.
But what about
opens up a whole other segment.
The transcendental level? On the transcendental level.
Well, even on a transcendental level, you look at bhakti. Bhakti is you're giving your heart to Krishna. You're doing something. You're becoming.
So bhakti is superior to jnana?
Whereas jnana, it's niti-niti. This isn't it, this isn't it, this isn't it. You go through all these different things, but it doesn't.
Ultimately, the gopis. Yeah. The emotion is the gopis are the most supreme thing. Even Krishna is conquered by sentiment. So ultimately, yeah, emotion is superior to logic. But in the material world, it's mixed up. And usually emotion usually means, you know, sensuous reaction. You feel something because your skin reacts, or your heart reacts, or your stomach. Somebody's angry, you give a nice meal, and afterwards they're happy. Their stomach. So yeah, gyan is good to get you situated in bhakti. Bahunam jamanam te. Yeah, because he knows the Vasudeva, but that's the point. And then at that point, Prabhupada says that just give up gyan. Yeah? Unless bhakti dictates, you know, you'd be logical. You'd use gyan like that. Yeah. or vairagya. Now, if you have some bhakti. So these sentiments, these stories, ideas that, you know, enter into the feeling. This is a very emotional story. What's the humor? Now there's a whole thing. Lord Yaksha. Hiran Yaksha. Is he engaged? Does he have bhakti? Is he experiencing bhava?
He has logic.
Yeah.
He understands Vishnu's the only person that can fight. Therefore he did something to make Vishnu want to fight.
Yeah. But his motive is to enjoy. He's kind of like a son. So you can actually have virya ras. Virya, there's five primary rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Then Winnie's are seven secondary ras. That's all there is. These are all the motivations for everything. And the seven secondary, who knows some of the seven secondary rasas?
Yeah.
Laughter.
Huh? Laughter.
Humor, laughter. I don't know. Anger. Yeah. I think wonder.
Yeah, wonder is my
chivalry. Fear. Fear. Yeah. So if you know, for example, if you're Krishna's servant and you see Krishna's in trouble with some demon, as a secondary rasa, you will feel fear, but as a servant. Mother Yashoda in Vatsalya Ras can also feel this fearful experience like that. Yeah. So, Kubja. Is Kubja a devotee?
Yes.
Yeah?
It is.
But what's her rasa?
Rasa is lust.
Huh? That's not a rasa. Is it conjugal rasa? It's conjugal rasa. Huh? It's a conjugal relationship. She's not really a white cow, her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So she's the, what's the name of the Shakti? Yeah. But she's an example of somebody who wants to enjoy with Krishna. In her previous life, the explanation was that she was Suparnaka. Suparnaka.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she saw Ram, and she thought, it's just like anybody. Well, why do you come to Hare Krishna temple? Are you a Hare Krishna devotee? He said, no, but the food is good. You can't get food like this someplace else. Yeah. Let's smoke some marijuana before we go to the Hare Krishna temple and, you know, chant, sing and dance. And people do that. So this is you want to enjoy, you know, personal enjoyment. But I even heard Prabhupada said, he said, all you people came to Krishna consciousness because you were so lusty, you couldn't satisfy your senses anyplace else. So you came to Krishna, right? You know, best, you want to play with dolls, right? Play with dolls. Yeah. One day I had a person survey once, how many American girls still have their teddy bears? And it was like about 80% of all American girls still have their teddy bear. Yeah, girls, how's it going? Girls don't give up playing with dolls. They just become more expensive. In their baby. So okay, here's a supreme doll. Prabhupada says that one time. I said, you want to Radha and Krishna, the supreme doll. Is how to play with them. So beautiful. And the food is the best food. It's the best company. Jayananda said, Krishna consciousness means eating and sleeping in the best of company. Krishna consciousness. And to sleep in the brahmacharya ashram and eat prasada, you have no problem. Brahmacharya. Yeah. So you come to Krishna. So Kubja or Suparnaka, they're examples. I forget the name. Prabhupada calls it a certain kind of shakti. And yes, Krishna will associate with us if you want to come to him in this exploitive mood. You want to exploit Krishna for our sense gratification. Yeah? It's kind of like karma yoga, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's a way, because after we do that for some time, then we realize, boy, I'm really missing out on, you know, the real benefit of the Hare Krishna temple, you know, by going there to enjoy so much. Let me actually go sober, you know. Let me not eat too much. Let me eat the right amount. Let me start hearing what you're saying. You know? That's a fact. I'm going to die. Let me. So then you start, you know, taking advantage of the Shantaras. So you're approaching Krishna to exploit him, to enjoy him. And Krishna will associate with that potency, that attitude. But he says, be very careful. He said, this is different than Radharani or Rukmini, except point. You know, this is a Shakti. And Krishna associates with this Shakti, this conjugal enjoying Shakti, sometimes, but not eternally. Like that. So devotees attracted in conjugal love, be very careful, Prabhupada, to distinguish whether you try to serve Krishna with feminine potency or enjoy Krishna in feminine potency, lust. So all these stories are really to inform us about rasa, about relationship with Krishna, you know? And this demoniac attitude of wanting to fight with Krishna, you know, everything else. But they become purified, they become liberated, you know? And Krishna reciprocates in that mode. So we have to, I mean, all of us, I mean, I have lots of material contamination, you know, and so on. It's every day, struggling, you know, to keep my standard and everything else like that. And so we begin to see, you know, how many people here have a little here on the oxygen? Being a very bellicose person, looking for a fight. You know, other people aren't like that. Other kind of demoniac tendencies. That. Once upon a time, there were two ladies. They were sisters, and they in the Hare Krishna temple, in the movement like that. And they both were very, you know, nice devotees and stuff like that. But they had their own idea about how to serve the deities and dress them. And they had like their feminine rivalry. And at some point, one of the Matajis, her children were temple president, Sankirtan leader, you know, head pujari. And she, other girl, Mataji, was so disturbed because her children had no position, you know. And she was, you know, the other lady was able to pick out the Janmashtami outfit because her children were all these people and suggestions. And then other Mataji was so disturbed. Said, look at this, $5,000. I wouldn't dress my dog like this. Look at this, the menu. This is terrible. So then the second Mataji was praying to Krishna, you know, that her sister would be, you know, fallen into disgrace. So Krishna came and said, yes, you've done a sacrifice to please me. I know what you want. This is ditti and aditti, right? Ditti and aditti. I know what you want. You want that your children will be in charge of the universe so you can worship me the way you want to. Right? So it seems kind of like pure devotional service, right? Just worship Krishna. But it's still this rivalry to worship Krishna the way I want to worship him. Right? So it's this desire to kill your own sister, right? Or annihilate your own sister, you know, like that. So that's also another contamination. Hansa Duda said that Prabhupada said, every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, you go past the fruity workers pretty quick. That's just pretty simple to understand. Then after that, the big problems are all these little weeds, right? Growing up, getting those out of there. You know, we got most of them, but there's one weed which is taking about half the water away from my bhakti creeper, right? And it's so close that I can't even really see it. You know? Yeah, I look at everybody here, and I can see everybody here. They have certain attachments, certain problems, you know, and they can't recognize that. Shishuradhana Madhava Ki?
Yes.
Radharani Ki? Gortai Ki? Because we all have blind spots, right? You know, certain things that we don't know. Everybody else can see it, but we can't see it. So I can see other people like that. So therefore, it's kind of logical to understand, well, I guess I have the same thing. I must have character faults that I can't really recognize because they're so close, and so much a part of my character, and I create a social environment so they fit in very nicely. You know, like I, as far as I can understand, I have a tendency to be sarcastic, and you know, intellectually harassing people like this and that. And Krunath, who's a lawyer in San Francisco, he says, "Yeah, he says you and I can get away with this because we're intelligent." You know? But yeah, it's a the thing you got to watch out for because you can express this. Wow, it's magic. He's wiping it all at the same time over the curtain.
Well,
Yeah. You're intense enough. Wow. So the Bhagavatam has all these stories, and if you think you have to enter into it, you've got to do dramas, like put on puppet shows. And this would be a great Sunday feast program. Like, you know, all these festivals are great days to do this. You know, if you have a drama, like, you know, 18 dramas a year or something like that, you know, nice ones, people would come. We used to, in Berkeley, Madhu Pandit. He was a professional actor. And he had a whole traveling theater. He did the butcher's Nightmare. It was a whole thing they did with, like, you know, they had a big screen television with stuff coming on, like a newscast, and on like that. It's the whole thing. But normally the Sunday feast would be like about half the temple room. But he started doing this. They would go out in their costumes on Telegraph Avenue during the, you know, people were moving, passing out invitations and stuff. Wow. So he knew what he was doing. And the temple was packed full. And people would come. And it was like, it went on for 3 weekends, so people got in the rhythm. And I saw these biker guys again, coming in, like, you know, like sitting down and watching the whole thing and laughing and eating and stuff and then going away, you know, like that. So drama is a fantastic way. From the very beginning, Prabhupada wanted people to come. He wanted to do dramas dressed up like Lord Chaitanya and stuff like that. From the very beginning. Yeah. So drama theater is a wonderful way to do it. Puppet shows. Even you just draw like stick things on paper and behind a dhoti and read the lines. Very nice. People really laugh like anything. You know? So but the essence is rasa. Yeah? There's a translation of Nectar of Devotion by David Haberman. He's a professor from the University of Wisconsin. And he's actually studied Gaudiya Vaishnavism and, you know, Raja Bhakti intensely. As far as we can investigate, he finally was initiated and embarks after the Sampradaya. But it's a complete secret, so he doesn't mess up his, like, career. You know, Radhika saw him in Florida, Gainesville. And he said he was talking to people during the program. And afterwards, he came up to him and he says hello. And he saw his neckpiece and was cool right away, like, you know, hello, professor. But he said he kind of looked at his hair and it was cut back. Ramanuja, Sikha under his hair. When two thieves meet upon the road, they know each other by introduction. Without introduction, look at each other, the guy can tell. There's a thief here at the party like that. So anyway, he did a translation of Nectar of Devotion. Bhagavan Maharaj is better, his translation. But he has a 35-page introduction. That's nice reading, because then he goes through the whole, mundane but academic history of the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, and Lord Rupa Goswami. It's pretty bona fide. Some of his things, it seems like he's missing out on the real aspect of bhakti. Maybe he's picked it up more since then, but he's missing on certain things. And kind of, but basically, it's nice. And it's also a nice summary of the book, again, from a different angle. Dhanadhara Maharaj has his summary, which really helps. And then this is a little different angle. You get some, because it's a very difficult subject. It's very difficult. It's a condensation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And not Daivi Varnashram Dharma. Just the bhakti part. You know, the essence of all Vedic literature in one book. You know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it's complicated. It's difficult. So the commentary by Dhanadhara Maharaj, Prabhupada's summary study. And then he has his commentary, his explanation he goes through. And he puts the Ajiva Goswami's commentary as his footnotes like that. So it's thick, it's expensive, but it's a nice book. We use it for the course in Radhadesh, our university course there, like that. So the introduction, though, is easily worth reading. And his idea is that it's all evolving, at least the way he's presenting it. And Rupa Goswami was inheriting this whole rasa tradition from previous people in the Vedic line, Abhinava Gupta, Maharaj Bhoja. So the idea of rasa is mentioned in the Varaha Purana. Maybe it's because of this. And it says there, the Supreme Lord is full of rasa, like that. So this is the first pastime. And by the way, this is maybe the first really rasa pastime. Before this, other things are happening, but this is maybe the first time things get really emotional and sentimental and dramatic. You know? So the Varaha Purana, this word rasa, is oldest occurrence. Then after that, his point is that it was usually used by Abhinavagupta and everybody else in theater. You know, they developed it in terms of theater. And different sentiments and feelings and different things were supposed to stimulate different feelings in the audience. You know. So this is called what? And there's five kinds of bhakti, bhavas. Right? Vaidhi bhakti, Raghunuga bhakti, and then bhava bhakti. So the first one is vibhava. So vibhava are the stimulus for different feelings like that. So the term was there like that. And the idea was that the people, it was solely restricted to the theater. And after that, and other people don't know, it was actually supposed to come outside the theater, it was supposed to have a permanent change. It was supposed to bring the audience to a platform of detachment. The whole purpose of the theater, the drama, was to bring you to a point of experiencing a position of peace, shantaras, outside of mundane sentiment and emotion. So whole theory, even looking in the theater schools now, there's a lot of theory about drama, what it's supposed to be doing, how it works, how sentiments respond. And this is a very, very good area for preaching. Gandharva Veda is music, dance, and drama. And we've already had good success going into the universities like that. Because if you read a little bit like this, you know more than they do about Indian drama, technically speaking. And then, if you can take it to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then you know now we're in our home area. You know, because his point is that Rupa Goswami was the first person to actually take these drama terms to the absolute truth, the absolute level. But our point, I think, would be that it always existed, like Sanskrit grammar. And the Sanskrit grammar had fallen into like contamination. So Panini, he came along and lifted it up. It wasn't that he invented Sanskrit grammar. That's what they also say it was evolving in Panini. He actually then put it all together. But our point is, no, it had fallen down. And he simply was a reformer. Yadayadayi dharmasya dhamirbhavati bhara. Reformer. So our point would be maybe the same thing. Yes, you can find these same rasa theories with a little bit different terms and different schools of thought, you know, like that. Some closer to us, some different. But Rupa Goswami wasn't developing things in an evolution. He was actually bringing it back to its original purpose, original form, and presenting it like that. You know? The purpose of drama, theater, all this stuff, is to engage us in meditation and comprehension. So he has Nectar of Instruction, which is a summary of everything. Summary of everything. That one little book, if you know that, you know our whole philosophy, everything like that. Then the purports are different, like indications. You know, where to look for more details. You know, like that. There's a lot of citations from Sanatana Shiksha. Right? The instructions to Sanatana Goswami, because that's where these things are being explained. Like that. But then the actual Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains everything then. It's the big brother. Here's the, like this book? Okay, here's the complete book. Like that. So, great. It's actually our whole study in Krishna consciousness can be based upon three sets of literature. Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, and two. And probably mentions as many times. Rupa Goswami has given us many books such as Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, and Vidagdha Madhava, and yeah. So here's a summary, here's a complete science, here's a demonstration. They're both dramas. And one drama is about Krishna in Vrindavan, and the other is about Krishna in, yeah. Which is the one about Krishna in Vrindavan, Vidagdha or Lalita? No, V. The V's match up. So I finally got that. Vimanika Lalita. Yeah, Vidagdha Madhava in Vrindavan. Lalita means more like, I think, excellent. And the doctor is funny.
I'm still trying to chant it. We've gotten up to
that. Me too. And it's kind of when you're ready, for these things, you understand them. You know? So I think I'm kind of beginning to get ready for this. And I kind of like appreciating, wow, Prabhupada's always mentioned it several times, like a sequence. You know, and just starting to get a full grasp of Nectar of Devotion. We're looking at, you know, because you can't put Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava on properly unless you know the theory. You know? well like that. And if you do it, then it's you know, it's just the sentiment. We have our Manipuri shows, we travel with our Manipuri groups. They study all these things. The gurus who write the dramas and the dance dramas, the music and everything, it's all following proper raga, tala, meter, rhythm, and also abhinaya, postures, Yeah, different posture evokes automatically. It's vibhakti for vibhava for different things. So the Manipuri study these things. I remember I was sitting over there behind the act, they're performing some things, you know. And Hari Leela actually was the organizer for the show we did outside like that. Remember that, our Manipuri group? Yeah. It was a very nice presentation. Yeah. We did a temple program too. And I was sure enough, we were doing some of the Ras Leela. I was looking, and you know, some of these Western Texan guys were, you know, because the sentiments are so strong. It creates chivalry, it creates lamentation, it creates jubilation. Yeah? And it's designed with the music, the posture, the dialogue, everything else to create certain descriptions of certain things. And it's all a science, and he explains that, how it works, and especially in the Bhava section, like that, and the other one, you know, like that. So it's a whole science. The more you know it, the more you can know to negotiate yourself, right, around what we're doing like that. Vaidhi Bhakti, okay, follow rules and regulations. Get a logical understanding of these things. Raghunuga, okay, try and understand how this is going on. You know, follow the raga, the rasa in this interaction like that. Read the texts, you know, like that. And then once you're following it, trying to imitate it, do it as a drama, then your own real actual sentiments start to come out. Right? They start to wake up in your bhava now. It's not continuous, it's not strong, it's not even maybe completely pure, but yeah, that's, I'm finally coming out. You know, when I'm playing the part of Hiranyaksha, I can really, you know, feel it. You know, like that. You know? Yeah? The demon in me is coming out. So it says here, Lord Brahma is saying, Okay, I'll finish chapter off. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant. I'm trying to say this in the humor of Lord Brahma. How would Lord Brahma say this? You know, is Lord Brahma a low-class guy? No. Is he a real sentimental guy? No, he's a real intellectual guy. Maybe a little bit of an administrator, too. He's kind of like a brahmana who's got stuck in an administrative position, right? Like that, you know? So, my dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless, and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for this infamous purpose. My dear Lord, there is no need to play with this serpentine demon. He is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked. My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives and he prevents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without doubt. My Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods. The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. Quickly. This demon, luckily for us, has come of his own accord to you, his death ordained by you. Therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill him in the duel and establish the world in peace. One purport. No one is unhappy when a serpent is killed. It is a practice among village boys to catch a serpent by the tail and play with it for some time and then kill it. Similarly, the Lord could have killed the demon at once, but he played with him in the same way as a child plays with a snake before killing it. Brahma requested, however, that since the demon was more wicked and undesirable than a serpent, there was no need to play with him. It was his wish that he be killed at once, not delay. the Bhagavad Gita, Bhargava Mantra Gita. So tomorrow somebody will start the killer of a demon, Hiranyaksha. So Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Sankirtan Yavya Ki?
Yeah.
Send love fees ki?
Amen.
Send lust fees ki? And did you eat too much prasadam when you came in the beginning with that? Wow. One black one. It was Eddie, Bhakti Eddie. He was like, he's real kind of lusty, man. Lusty black guy. I'm dying. He said, hey, give me some more of that speed rice. Oh, sweet rice. Said, oh, okay. Sorry. It was funny. He was a sincere guy. He was a dumb black guy. Well, nice. The one time Abhimanyu wouldn't give me money to buy comic books. So he went to the blood thing and went with blood to buy comic books. Blood to buy comic books. No, but it's a Marvel comic. Five of the other comics in it.
Huh? Get him in the
emergency. Yeah. I don't know. Yes. How's it in the Prabhupada taught him? This is a good more attack. The most crazy and the most sane people. You're going to know how to send them both on their own destinations. Like, okay, all the complete wackos go this way. They usually send them all to the farm. I was president of the farm for some time. Once a week, the band would come up from Berkeley. And God, the door would open up. And God, it was like, come on, what do you do? New Pratavan. It's like, I just had a while. Okay, come on, it's just like this. Was, but yeah, one guy, I wasn't bringing the ambulance, Chandrasekhar, whatever it was, had his wands, his harvest of the trees. And you know, one guy would sit every afternoon for 3 hours and he'd have wands. He would talk to himself the whole time. Sometimes he would talk to himself as well. Just even talking to himself, cracking. It was a complete, moron job. But the guy was, engaged, and into 3 hours, he'd be like, papers keep. Amazing.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
The intellectuals and the crazies, they kind of go see the occasion. Something's not working. And the intellectuals because of logic, and the crazies because of just no matter where they go, they do come to the same conclusion.
The guys in the middle have to just try to make it work. Seems that maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
The wives. I remember that. It was just, for a woman, her chill enjoyment is reality. I was noticing that. I was just, my girlfriend was like, yeah, we're going to do this and that. It'd be fun. And we'd be like, oh, okay. In her association, I would get home. Myself, it was just, it was okay or something, wasn't it?
Wow, that's sad.
I think I got this book and I read it pretty soon. I'm trying to figure out how. The first thing I got, the first realization about the first time I was probably about this book was that women are nice and bad. There's a 7-hour lesson. I didn't have a I was smart about how to do that. And then I figured out, like, the girlfriends I had, my sister, and my mother. And I was like, wow. It all made sense. Their behavior and activities. The hippie thing was until I knew more about it.
Bad or something.
It's just different.